Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Packed show for you. We'll get to the guests in just a second. We got a guest right off the top here at 10 o'clock. Frank Vogel, Lakers head coach, will join us at 10:15, right after Coach Vogel. Coach Clay Helton will join us. Can USC take back the West? That was the big story on ESPN.com yesterday. We'll talk to him about that. Plus, there's some talking heads saying the Pac-12 is dead, that it's over, that they might as well pack it in. They might as well merge with the Big 12. We'll ask Clay about those particular comments. And at 11 o'clock, Lewis Riddick will stop by. He says Cam to the Rams. He says that should happen. We'll talk to him about that. At 11:15, Dave Pasch will stop by, my colleague at ESPN with NBA. He calls NBA games, calls college football games, and of course, he does college basketball with the great Bill Walton, so we're going to talk Walton. We got some great Walton stories coming our way. And then Ryan Russillo, our buddy, joins us in the last segment at 11:40. It's all brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, where they don't play any games, man. They get the unlimited plan. Go get it for them. They're offering it, so get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. And again, no contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So Frank Vogel's going to join us here in a second. Bergman, what are you most interested in talking to Frank Vogel about before he joins us in 2 minutes?
I'm most interested to know if I'm allowed to be a assistant coach on his staff from the college challenge.
It's interesting you bring that up, right? So if you're wondering why Greg would say, why he, taker of all L's, that would be your Game of Thrones nickname. Greg, taker of L's. Greg Bergman of House, Greg of House Bergman and right. Taker of all L's. That would be your Game of Thrones name.
I would die so fast.
Yeah,
if that was my name,
yeah.
Taker of all L's. Like I go into battle. All right, I'm ready to go. Okay,
Done. It's over. So anyway, there is something cool going on called the All In Challenge. And if you Google the All In Challenge, it's you can go to fanatics.com. Fanatics.com is a apparel website, and they're doing the All In Challenge with a bunch of teams, including the Lakers. And they're doing this really cool item that you could bid on, and The money goes 100% towards providing food to those in need, kids, elderly, and the frontline heroes, of course. And ending tomorrow at 6 o'clock Pacific, they have an item up for bid right now where you can become a Lakers coaching staff member, an honorary member at their next home opener. So once we get back to normal, you can be a Lakers honorary Lakers coaching staff member on their next home opener, and the bidding ends tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the evening. So make sure that you get on that. Google the All-In Challenge. It's really awesome, and Frank is part of that, obviously, and I'm curious to see how that's going and how excited he is to do something like that. So let me know when Frank, Coach Vogel is on the phone. What did you have to say, Bergman? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, do you think I'm even eligible for it?
I mean, no.
I work for the Lakers station.
You do. So. I feel like that should eliminate you.
Right.
I mean, there's probably no fine print to that extent when it comes to the All-In Challenge. But I also don't think you.
I don't want to take it from someone else.
Like, yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
I don't think you should put yourself in that in that box just because. Again, someone else will want to do it. Now you could still bid on it and help the people. Right?
Right. No, that's totally fine. I know. I would love to do it, but I would like someone else. I get to go to games. I'm lucky enough that I actually get to go to these games.
Right.
So someone else can have that.
Right. So you can do that, but anyone that wants to participate in that, and we'll talk to Frank about that here in a moment, amongst many other things. I'd love to talk to Frank just about, I mean, the obvious stuff that we've talked to everyone about, which is what the hell are you doing right now? I'm curious to see how Coach Vogel compares to maybe Sean McVay in his viewing habits right now, who we had on a couple weeks ago, who, by the way, Sean McVay is going to join us tomorrow at 11:30. But let's talk to Coach Vogel now, who joins us here, the head coach of your Los Angeles Lakers. Frank, thank you so much for joining us, man. I hope everyone is healthy and safe. And I got to be honest, I was getting used to our regular meetings when I was doing your game, so I kind of miss you guys.
Secondly, and I hope all of your family is healthy and safe as well. And yeah, we had you guys for national TV games quite a bit, so miss you too, man.
Yeah, man, for sure, for sure. So, hey, look, Frank, before we get into basketball, we were just talking about it. You're doing something really cool with the All-In Challenge. What is the auction that you and the Lakers are doing about allowing someone to be part of your staff?
Well, our package looks like basically the assistant coach or honorary member of the coaching staff for the day. You can participate.
Hey, Frank, we're having connection. Sorry to interrupt. We're having connection issues. If we can get Frank to call back, that would be ideal because he's cutting in and out. So I want to make sure that the audience can hear what we're talking to him about. That connection is really, really bad. So if we can find a way to get him back on the phone. Look, man, sometimes technology is not ideal. So we'll get Frank back on the phone, and I want to make sure everyone can hear how they can get in on the All-In Challenge with the Lakers. And I want to talk to him about a couple of different things. Like, I want to ask him about The Last Dance, because, you know, Frank's been around for a long time. Like, Frank started in the video room, and I'm curious to see how all that kind of goes through his mind, right, as we kind of see all of this unfold and just from a coach's perspective. So, Coach, are you back?
George, how do I sound now?
Oh, much better. Much, much better. So anyway, if you could tell people about the auction and the All-In Challenge.
Right. So our package looks like just to be an honorary member of the coaching staff for the home opener of next season. You know, obviously there's a lot of uncertainty about the way this season is going to finish. Whether there's going to be fans or not, it's unlikely there will be fans, but, so we pushed it off into next season, and the home opener has always got a great buzz around, the new season and our team. So, you'd be an honorary member of the coaching staff. You'd be a part of our coaching staff meetings and morning shoot around. In the morning, you get 4 tickets to the game. I think we have a package of, autographed items and, a jersey with your name on the back. And, I think we did be part of the press conference after the game. You sit alongside me for the media availability, and I'll meet their guests after the game for dinner. So, hopefully we can raise some money for a great cause.
Absolutely. And again, the bidding ends tomorrow at 6 p.m. So tomorrow at 6 p.m., it's the All-In Challenge. You can Google it. They're providing food to those in need, kids, elderly, and the frontline heroes. And obviously, we're all trying to help each other out here in this situation. And the Lakers and Coach Vogel are doing their part as well. And again, the bidding ends at 6 p.m. tomorrow on the All-In Challenge. All right. So before we get into basketball, I want to talk to you. I saw you joked yesterday in your conference call that you've streamed everything, Frank, that you've streamed every platform by now. But what's been the biggest hit in the Vogel household?
The biggest hit? Well, oh, man. I mean, we're big into TV series and whatnot. And, I guess since the quarantine hit or since we've been in the pandemic, probably the biggest hit has been All-American. With Tay Diggs and the football story that takes place here in LA, but we've watched a ton of stuff from we finished Game of Thrones prior to this, The Stranger Things, Billions, and Ozark are two of my favorites. But All American since the pandemic hit, probably All American.
So you had not seen Game of Thrones up until now?
No, I did. I just threw that in there because anytime we're talking about streaming, that's always at the top of the list for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, one of the greatest shows ever. I don't think there's any question about it. I want to start Billions, but I have asked people whether I should start Billions first or watch Succession on HBO. Obviously, similar type shows, but it's funny. Everyone just basically said, just watch both.
Yeah, I don't know much about Succession, but Billions is at the top of the list. I would start there.
Okay, fair enough. I'm in.
I don't imagine that Succession would be bad. Billions is unbelievable.
Okay. So. All right.
I'm
in, Frank. I'm taking the Vogel suggestion there. We'll start Billions here pretty soon. Speaking of film, obviously we're in this unique situation. I'm curious, Frank. I mean, look, I know that you watch film all the time during the season or whatnot. But with the rapid pace of the season, it's sometimes little things could potentially slip through the cracks, right? Like even as tedious as you guys are when you're watching the film. But I'm curious to see, with time now on your side, have you seen something about your team on film that maybe caught your eye with the benefit of time, maybe something you hadn't noticed previously?
Well, I think just going back and watching our tapes now, you know, in hindsight with some time in between the games, you know, we're better than I felt when we were in the season. You know, when you're coaching the team, every little thing that's wrong, you know, you want to correct it, you want to get it better, you want to improve it, you want to fix it. But if you step away, like we've been able to do, you know, the film that I've been watching of late has been, you know, really exciting and encouraging, you know, for me, for, you know, basically leaving me with the feeling that I wouldn't want to play against us because we have a heck of a team. You know, we're doing some really good things with our running game offensively, our spacing, our ability to play with the pass. And, you know, we've been impressive on film for the studies that I've done of late, and just left me encouraged and eager to get back.
I mean, clearly we all know the challenges we're all dealing with, and it's way bigger than basketball. I understand that. But is there a sense, even a little bit, amongst the group of, man, we were really hitting our stride right before this thing happened?
There's no doubt, and we definitely were. And I remember talking to our team prior to the Bucks and the Clippers game that weekend. Well, we had gotten beaten by both teams earlier in the season, and having watched those two tapes, we sort of went into that weekend with the mindset that, you know, judging from what we've done from that point in December to this point in, what was it, early March, we're a dramatically improved team. You know, we took big strides during that stretch, and you know, that was an exciting thing, you know, to sort of recognize. And you know, we did understand we were hitting our stride, but look, this thing's out of our control. So you know, teams have to battle adversity to achieve the ultimate prize, and you know, for us, this is part of it. This is part of our story for this year's season, that you know, we're going to have to take a stretch where we're hitting our stride and take some time away, a long time away, a big hiatus, and you know, figure out how to reestablish those habits and do it again.
Frank, let me ask you a question. When did you start in the video room in Boston? I know you were with Coach Pitino at UK, but did you go with him to the video room right after?
I did. I went up the same season Coach Pitino went to the Celtics, and our first season was ironically the same season as this Last Dance that we're watching on ESPN. So Michael Jordan's sixth championship season was my first in the NBA. And, you know, that's one of the things that stuck out is we were the first game of that season and we beat them. And they didn't talk about it on this series. So I'm still excited.
Yeah. Well, the reason I brought that up was that because I thought that aligned, because everyone's obviously talking about The Last Dance. Yeah, you didn't get the credit you deserved there, Vogel. Come on. But what are you?
That they lost their first four road games. That they didn't mention that the first one was in Boston against us.
Yeah, they did talk about the tough start, but yeah, they did not include you. But what do you remember from those days, maybe doing edits about Jordan? Like, how often did you find yourself just being wowed by what you saw?
Well, the biggest remembrance for me was just, that was the first time I had seen him play in person. You know what I mean? And, you know, to be up close and just see the athleticism and, you know, the verticality that he played with was really just remarkable. But to try to prepare for that team was, you know, it was really cool. I mean, look, I'm coming from the University of Kentucky, where we had a good career as a young video coordinator, and you know, playing against your first game is Michael Jordan and the two-time champion or five-time champion Chicago Bulls was just a really neat experience.
So more nervous, that game, getting ready for that game as the video coordinator, or your appearance on David Letterman that you and I have talked about numerous times?
That's a great question. Probably the Bulls game, because, you know, when I was on David Letterman, I didn't really understand the scope of how big national TV was. I just thought my friends at school would be seeing me on TV, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Your livelihood wasn't on the line for the other one, for sure.
Right.
Hey, so you're clearly coaching one of the greats. And look, he gets compared to everyone, right? LeBron gets compared to Jordan and all the greats, and everyone loves comparisons. Outside of size and build, what would you say, though, is the biggest difference between the two as you watch their games?
Between Michael and LeBron?
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough comparison. I try to stay away from that, to be honest. You know, like you said, the size and build, their games are different. You know what I mean? You know, LeBron is just is more of a orchestrator of the whole team. You know, he runs all the action. He's with Tom Brady of whatever team he's a part of, the quarterback. And, you know, his vision and ability to facilitate, you know, is really, it's more like on a Magic Johnson level. I'd say that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're splitting hairs basically with these guys, which is the best part when you're talking about the guys at those particular levels, for sure. It's a fun game. I just say we should appreciate everyone, including those two, you know?
For sure. And, you know, Michael was great in his time, but, you know, this is LeBron's time now. So, you know, I think our fans, you know, really have to appreciate, especially the Lakers fans, have to appreciate what we have in him. You know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime talent and once-in-a-lifetime legacy that he's leaving on the game. And every chance that our fans have an opportunity to observe him or watch him, it's something they should they'll probably remember the rest of their life. And, you know, he's just special.
Frank Vogel with us here, Lakers head coach. A couple quick questions with you here, Frank. What has your communication been like with the guys, you know, LeBron, AD, and the entire group? Like, how has that been a challenge, I guess, or has it been a challenge during this time?
Yeah, it's been a challenge, but we treated it like the off season. You know what I mean? We know we're going to be away. We're in this for the long haul. We've had several Zoom calls with our players just to give updates and check-ins with them. But, you know, it's a time to give them space as well, you know, and, you know, we've been in contact to make sure everybody's kind of staying in shape and everybody's in good health and good mental health. You know, everybody's doing okay. So, it's been a challenge, but, you know, all of us very eager to get back to work, obviously when it's safe and appropriate.
Frank Vogel with us here. So Frank, there's a lot of talk, about, you know, and I want to talk big picture with you here, kind of put your analyst hat on. There's a lot of talk about if and when you guys come back, that particularly for teams at the bottom of the playoff standings, about maybe even something creative, like a tournament for that 7 through 10 seeds or whatever. How would you feel about something like that if you were coaching one of those teams?
Well, you know, obviously if it's 7 through 10, you know, the teams that are 9, 10, 11, you know, they still had a chance if there was the rest of the season to be played. So I was one of those teams. I would want every opportunity to, you know, to get into the playoffs. You know, the teams that are at the bottom obviously have a different perspective, you know, with the value in coming back and returning to play. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting. There is a gap between 8 and 9 in both conferences, you know, so, you know, it'll just be interesting to see what the league decides. And we have the best commissioner in all of sports in Adam Silver. So, you know, I feel very confident in just following his lead on what he feels is best.
And just as a basketball fan, just when you look out west, besides your own potential matchup, what's the matchup you're looking at? You're like, ooh, that'll be fun to watch.
I think the whole thing is interesting, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, even what the Memphis Grizzlies have done this year, like, if we end up facing them in the playoffs, I'm super impressed with the job that the coach has done there. And, you know, that'll be interesting. You know, that obviously anybody James Harden plays against, anybody Kawhi Leonard plays against, you know, those are always fun to watch, fun battles to watch. And there's just so many great teams in the Western Conference. What Luka Doncic is able to have done, and Denver Nuggets, you know, I think all of them are going to be really exciting. Obviously, the one here everybody wants to see is Lakers Clippers. But to me, you know, they're all going to have their own level of intrigue.
Frank, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for taking time with us here. And, of course, make sure you go to the All In Challenge. They're doing a great job there. The Lakers are doing a fantastic piece of work here with the All In Challenge, providing food to those in need, kids, elderly, frontline heroes. The auction is up right now through tomorrow at 6 p.m. Become a Lakers honorary coaching staff member for their home opener next season. Frank, thanks so much again, man. Stay safe, stay healthy. Appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, George. Good catching up with you.
You too, man. Take care. There he is, Frank Vogel, Lakers head coach with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. ESPN Radio here on ESPN 710 is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home quote at progressive.com today. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And we switch right over, no commercial, straight through to the head coach of USC football, Clay Helton, now joining us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Clay, how are you? How is the family and the extended family?
Oh, they're doing great. They're doing great. I think my wife and my three kids are sick and tired of being overcoached by me. I think they're ready for me to go back to work. But everybody's healthy. Everybody's safe. So God has blessed us.
That's great. That's great to hear. So there's a great story up on ESPN.com that popped up yesterday. And it's about how USC plans to take the West back, Clay, and how you guys can regain the ground that you controlled for so long. Have you had a chance to read it? Have you had a chance to kind of grasp what the concept was of the story? And what do you make of it? Like, how do you guys pull that off?
Well, I know there is a lot of excitement going on with what's going on in recruiting force. And I think that there are factors that go into that right now. One, that, you know, USC is a great product and will always will be. I mean, you're talking about one of the top 15 academic educations in the world, and as well as a chance to get developed as an NFL football player with obviously as many draft picks as we've had over our time here. But also, you know, I thought there was a tremendous upgrade, and I think that's what the article was going into as far as, you know, the investment that we made in our recruiting department, you know, not only from acquiring more personnel assistants, recruiting assistants, but the resources that Mike Bone and Dr. Carol Folt gave us, you know, as far as, you know, new graphic designers, new video production artists, the technology side of the recruiting aspect. That's such a huge part of this that we've upgraded that, and it's produced dividends. And then I think there's a great energy and chemistry amongst the staff that we have right now. That is paying dividends. We've poured a lot of time. There's a silver lining in every adverse situation. And the silver lining for us as a staff is we've poured ourselves into the relationships with student athletes that are out there as prospects in this spring. And obviously we're reaping some of those dividends right now, and hopefully it'll keep going.
Now, I know you've added some different members to your staff, including poaching someone from within the conference at Oregon to kind of help you as far as recruiting is concerned. Like, how much of an injection of life has that been? Just kind of, you know, look, I know that you respected all those guys that were on your staff previously, but how much of an injection of life has it been to have some fresh blood in there?
Well, you know, I thought two things happened for us. One, the retention of our offensive staff with Graham Harrell, keeping the system, the explosive system that we have, and thanks to Mike to be able to give us the financial backing to be able to do that, the retention of that offensive staff. And then bringing in, you know, a Todd Orlando, a Dante Williams, a Vic Soto, a Craig Niver, guys that not only are terrific recruiters and known as recruiters, but more importantly, you know, they're educators. They are the utmost education and mentors as what a man's supposed to be, a husband, a father, and naturally on the field, I've just been blown away by how they teach fundamentals and technique. And I think kids feel that, you know, and they feel the opportunity to have somebody that's got their back at all times, that's developing a great relationship with not just one person, but an entire staff. And that chemistry as a staff and what these kids are feeling right now has been a positive for us.
Clay, when you look back, right, with time to reflect here, what has been some of the bigger challenges that you feel like you've faced here over the last season or so?
Last season, to be honest with you, just having such a young football team, you know, we had seven seven total scholarship seniors on that team. And so we knew entering the season that we were going to be a young team that might go through some growing pains. And then you never anticipate, you know, losing a starting quarterback in the opening game of the first half. And so really felt like as our quarterback position grew, as well as our team grew, that we could become a very strong team down the stretch. And we did. You know, I thought we played our best football down the stretch. And, you know, I think it just provides just a glimmer of, man, what an exciting team this is going to be. I mean, you've got nine returning defensive starters coming back. You got eight returning offensive starters coming back. It's really an exciting time for us as coaches and us as a team because we know what we have. Now we got to go out there and do our job, and we're excited about that this year.
Clay, with Slovis, how surprised were you even that he was able to perform that way that quickly?
Well, you know, I thought we did the right thing, really. I thought Graham did a great job, as well as our offensive staff and the approach that we took to the quarterback position. You know, we made it an open competition in the spring as well as the fall, and it lifted everybody up. You know, we saw each quarterback grow, and we were so thankful for that. Each one of them competed their tails off. You know, and each one grew at the position because they knew the level of talent that was in the room. It made JT a better quarterback. It made Keaton just thrive and elevate as a very young player. I thought he brought a tremendous mindset of hey, I'm going to compete with everybody in the room. I'm looking to get better. He did it in a very humble and respectful way. Matt Fink, his ability to compete and grow. And what happens when you had some injuries and you look at even that Utah game, you know, when Keenan goes down on the second snap, for Matt Fink to come in there, if we didn't have that competitive atmosphere and the mindset of those guys to do their job for their teammates, you know, that could have been a real struggle. Instead, Matt Fink wins that game. Keenan Slovis has an amazing freshman year. And I thought the approach of, hey, we're all getting better together, we're all competing together, and we're going to be the best room we can possibly be for our team.
Clay Helton joining us here, head football coach of your USC Trojans. You know, Clay, what were your conversations like with Mike Bone about improving the football program upon his arrival? You and I haven't spoken in a while, and I'm just curious to see like how that relationship started and how it's evolved, really.
Well, I was blown away by Mike. I'll be honest with you. From day one that he came to the university, first time he sat down in my office and said, Coach, I want you to know we don't know each other, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to support you and to help you and your football team in everything that you do. And he not only said it, but more importantly, he acted upon it. The things that he did during the stretch of that end of that season, you know, being in our team meetings, telling the guys how proud they were of getting a big win, you know, being out at our practices and showing that support. Heck, pouring water on me after the Cal game in front of the kids and everybody. You know, those are things that allow kids to say, man, these guys are all in it together, you know, and that really helped us down the stretch finish the season strong. And then, you know, we get into December, January, and him coming and saying, hey, you know what, Coach, we want to help you get to the next level. Tell us what you need. Tell us the things that you need. And we talked about the availability to, you know, really bolster our recruiting department, the availability to keep the offensive staff together when other premier colleges were coming in, as well as the NFL, and to be able to keep that offensive staff together, to be able to acquire the pieces that Coach Orlando needed to have not only a great defensive coaching staff, but also, you know, a great recruiting staff. You know, those are things that he helped put together, and that support that he has given us has really enabled us to move forward. And now it's our time. It's our time as coaches to go out and do our job. It's our time as a team and players to go out and do our job and have a great season.
Couple more with you here, Clay. Big picture, there's a lot of talk from talking heads about the financial disparity between the Power Five conferences, particularly that the Pac-12 may not be in the same league financially as the SEC or the Big Ten or even the ACC. How do you feel about that kind of stuff as you look at the big picture and that stuff is discussed?
Well, I'm very fortunate to be at USC and within a premier conference like the Pac-12. I mean, you know, when you talk about USC, I've never been told no when asked for something, and I've been very appreciative of that. You know, whether it's the president, Dr. Carol Folt, whether it's Mike Bone, the athletic director, when our student athletes need something, USC steps up to the plate. You know, even in this crisis, you know, as we went through it, I was just absolutely amazed how USC stepped up for not only our sport in football, but all 21 sports, you know, providing these kids that had to stay at home, you know, equipment to be able to work out safely from home, bands, medicine balls, jump rope, being able to keep their calorie intake intact by providing pre-made meals and snacks, being able to send workout gear, being able to continue things online via Zoom with academic services and tutors, being able to set up, we had 30 surgeries as of August 1st of last year, being able to set up rehab specialists and rehab programs from their hometown. You know, so I have been very fortunate. I have not felt the financial crunch not one time when it comes to our student athletes. And to be honest with you, I haven't felt it in the Pac-12. You know, these guys, I've been meeting with them over the past 6 weeks, and between Larry Scott and the head coaches and these other programs, everybody's looking to push forward. And I've been very appreciative as a guy that's been in college football for 26 years that I'm one in the Pac-12, but most importantly, that we are at USC right now and in this time period, because they've really stepped up to the plate for our student athletes.
Last one for you, Clay, and because you've been around so long, this is an age-long question that has gained more steam as time has gone by, and the chatter about the Power Five eventually separating maybe from the NCAA because they don't really need the NCAA financially. What are your thoughts about something like that down the road?
Well, you never know. I think things change all the time. I think that as coaches, we control what we are capable of control of, and that's our football team, to be honest with you, and the games that are played. You know, we've been fortunate at USC to play all, you know, Division I schools, FBS schools, both championship series schools, and be able to garner the likes of an Alabama and Notre Dame in non-conference, but also to garner New Mexico. You know, so I do think that all universities are important in our time period right now. We're all going through changes within college football. Don't know quite where the future is going. It seems to be changing by the day. But as far as head coaches go, you know, right now we control what we have right in front of us. And that's really looking for next season, the opportunity and the optimism of having the opportunity to play a season that's all together with an entire NCAA group at all levels.
Have you heard anything about the start of the season, Clay, and it being either delayed or going out on time? Do we have any word on that?
Well, I've been in Pac-12 meetings as well as NCAA meetings. I think everybody is optimistic about having the opportunity to play a season. I just don't know. It'll be about 6 to 8 weeks that we'll finally kind of know what is the timing or the start of the season? What is the structure of it? Those are unknowns right now. But, you know, we are in weekly meetings both with the NCAA as well as our conferences, our commissioners are together about putting different structures together and looking at different structures. But the optimism is to be able to get in season. What a glorious day that will be, because we know we'll be further along putting this crisis behind us. We just don't know right now what that start date is or what the structure of a season looks like right now, but it's being worked on daily. I think we'll have a clearer picture probably 6 to 8 weeks from now.
Clay Helton, the head coach of your USC Trojans. Clay, it is always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you so much for taking time for us. Thanks again.
Always. Take care, guys.
There you go. Clay Helton with us here. All right. So we got a lot to unpack there between Vogel and Clay Helton. Plus, we may have an actual timeline for Major League Baseball. We'll have that for you in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Man, that was a packed first half hour. Frank Vogel and Clay Helton back-to-back. Hope you guys enjoyed that. If you missed some of that, we'll have some cuts that we'll play back later and just kind of discuss. ESPN Radio here on ESPN 710 is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you love Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars, you'll love their minis. It's all the indulgent savory goodness you know, now in a smaller size and at 100 calories. Snacking has never been so sweet. And if you missed any one of those interviews with Frank Vogel or Clay Helton, you can check out the entire Interview on Demand section of the Sedano Show podcast, where you can find that Frank Vogel interview, where you can find that Clay Helton interview on the ESPN app, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate five times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. So what stood out to you, Bergman? Let's do Vogel first, then Clay, and then I want to talk about Jeff Passan's news yesterday about Major League Baseball. So what stood out to you on Vogel, the of the entire interview? What stood out?
So for Vogel, it was a lot about how he's watching a lot of tape and he thought that the Lakers are better than what he even thought during the regular season.
Yeah.
I think we're all kind of felt that way. During the regular season, we all knew they were a really good team. They were one of the best teams in the NBA. But now when you go back and look, you're like, wow, this team was really, really good. And nobody wants to play them right now. That stood out.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that was something that stood out to me too. Like just the impression of, you know, they were really good, but they were hitting their stride at the end. And that's why I asked that follow up of, look, I understand what we're all dealing with, but that has to be some level of disappointment there because of it. So, and you know, clearly anyone would be human in that situation would feel that way. But yeah, I thought that stood out to me too. As a matter of fact, we should send that one to Bristol. That and the Last Dance stuff. Because the Last Dance, everybody loves the Last Dance stuff. And he actually was funny about it. He's like, yeah, they didn't even give us any credit after we, you know, we beat them in the first game. You know, they just kind of glossed over that.
And there seemed to be a lot of glossing over of things that did not pertain specifically to Jordan winning.
Yeah. And I liked his answer on the question I asked him about, what were you more nervous about? His appearance on David Letterman when he was a kid, for people that didn't know that, he was on David Letterman and like spin the, you know, they used to do something called cheap human tricks or something like that.
Stupid human tricks.
That's what it was. Stupid human tricks. And he spun a basketball while brushing his teeth or something like that, or spun a basketball on a toothbrush. I don't remember the exact thing that he did, but it's on YouTube. Like you could Google it and find it yourself. It's pretty hilarious. So when I asked him, like, what was more nerve-wracking, that or, you know, Jordan in his first game, and he said definitely Jordan. So that's a good question, but definitely Jordan. Yeah, because your livelihood is on the line at that point. So
right, yeah, that changes everything for you. If you're worried about your job, or you're just having some fun watching having your friends see you on TV, a little bit of different stakes.
Yeah, for sure. So that was funny. And on Clay was pretty adamant. And the reason I asked that question about the Pac-12. Laura, if you can pull up the audio from Peter Burns, who's on the SEC network at ESPN, and he was on ESPN radio, I guess, either this morning or last night or something like that. And he basically trashed the Pac-12, like said that they can't compete, that they're done. It's why I brought it up with Clay. And I thought Clay had a really strong response to that. But Laura, if you have that cut from Peter Burns from the SEC network, kind of taking a shot at the Pac-12, let's hear that.
The Pac-12 is done. The Pac-12 is done, guys. We already saw the writing on the wall when the schools like in the ACC, the Big Ten, even the SEC, they're giving, what, $20 million per school because of their television networks to these universities. That's a $100 million difference in 5 years just right now. And to think that this is only going to expedite, this is only going to exponentially change it, how the Pac-12 ever gets back to being on equal footing, it's impossible. It cannot happen at this point. The only way the Pac-12 can somewhat survive this is that they go to the Big 12 and say, we've got to merge. We're going to have to be a Power 4. No longer is it going to be the Power 5, and you go to Power 4. And then at that point, that Power 4 should probably say, you know what, NCAA, it's been real. But we're not going to be playing by your rules. We're going to have name, image, and likeness. We're going to go to bat a little bit more. And there's going to be a separation of the Power 4 from the NCAA.
While I agree with the second half, I do think there'll be an eventual separation. This notion that the Pac-12 is done is just preposterous. I want to open it up to you guys at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, if you had any thoughts on Clay's interview and Frank's interview, feel free to hop aboard, 877-710-3776. But the Pac-12 done being done is just silly. Like, that's just a silly discussion. Like, get out of here. And I'll tell you why. I will specifically cite a reason why in the next segment. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes. Yo, yo, by the way, happy birthday to Jay Balvin. 35 today. A ella le gusta. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. And tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. A series continues Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific on ESPN Television. And listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself immediately following the broadcast on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and Coors Light. So, you just heard the audio of Peter Burns of the SEC Network saying the Pac-12's dead. They can't compete financially, this, that, and the other, and that they're going to have to merge with the Big 12 to make it work. Now, I like Peter Burns personally, but this is utterly ridiculous, okay? And now that, look, I've been here 4 years, and I always felt like there was a West Coast bias, or I guess technically an East Coast bias, because just people don't get what goes on around here. Because it happens so much later, and 50% of the country is on the East Coast and on the Eastern time zone, and it's kind of like, it's too late, I can't stay up. So they don't have a true understanding of what goes on out here. But having been here now for over 4 years, I truly understand how this works, and it didn't take very long to figure that out. And this notion that the Pac-12 is dead, as I mentioned earlier, is preposterous, okay? There, it's no secret that the Pac-12 has been looking for more ways to gain visibility. They've talked about 9 a.m. kickoffs and things like that to help the East Coast viewers. And we saw the story that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. The Sports Business Journal reporting that several tech companies, such as Apple, Netflix, Amazon, and Facebook, are interested in taking over the Pac-12's primary media rights when the deal expires in 2024. Currently, the Pac-12 gets $250 million from their rights deal with ESPN and Fox, which is, you know, compared to some of these other conferences, chump change. But now we're talking about Apple, Netflix, Amazon, Facebook all potentially bidding for this stuff with deeper pockets maybe than almost anyone, or as deep a pockets as Disney, who owns ESPN. Like, I could see where the Pac-12 may say, you know what? We'll take the big payday, because the big payday, you know, we could carve up a specific deal where we can still keep some of the games on ESPN, maybe Fox, but we will put our primary package on one of these tech companies because they'll pay us a bazillion dollars because they want to get in the game. So if they do that, all of a sudden this disparity in finances between the SEC and the Pac-12, the gap has narrowed then, if that indeed becomes the case, or even the ACC or the Big Ten. So this notion that the Pac-12 is dead and has to merge with the Big 12, look, there's going to be conference realignment, I think, if we get to a point where the Power Five, or the big, you know, basically the big group, decides to pull away from the NCAA, which I think at some point is inevitable. I don't know how soon it'll be, but I think it will happen at some point. I think there'll be some merging, but the Pac-12 isn't going to dissolve like Peter Burns was suggesting. That's insane. Ray is in Culver City. What's up, Ray?
Hey, good morning, George. Man, who is that guy? Man, that guy's ridiculous. Look, let's just call it what it is. The Pac-12, the Big 12 really has just two teams. You're talking Oklahoma and Texas.
Yes.
Name me another team that would generate revenue. It should be the other way around. If anyone wants to merge with the Pac-12, it should be the Big 12, not the other way around, where the Pac-12 has to go seek a partner. But I'll add this to it. I've lived in L.A. all my life. One of my fondest memories on Saturdays was being able to watch a 12 o'clock game that was nationally televised. And I haven't seen a Pac-12 nationally televised game at 12 o'clock in a very long time. All we're getting now is Pac-12 After Dark. And that's not, Like, it's 7:30 in the evening, and the games are entering at 11:30, sometimes midnight in the case of that UCLA-Washington State game. Great game, but who could sit there for 4 hours to watch a football game? If I could sit there at 12 o'clock, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Like, I just think that they need to fix the scheduling part. There is a cool, like, niche feeling to the Pac-12 after dark, but yeah, you could do that for one game, but I think your primetime games have to be done, as you mentioned, at noon or 12:30.
Yeah, I don't see where, I mean, I can understand SEC trying to kind of, or the Big Ten kind of pushing, oh, that they need that time slot, and obviously ESPN's going to pay them for that slot, but at the end of the day, the exposure that the Pac-12 has always had has been at that 12:30 Pacific 3:30 slot, where it's kind of not that it's a dead period in the day, but it's a period in time where not a lot is happening. You're having games at 7 o'clock in the evening or 5 o'clock in the evening. Folks are out doing stuff. Folks are out with their kids. They're out, you know, at birthday parties and weddings and Lord knows what. 12 o'clock games is where they really, that's their pocket. That's the Pac-12 pocket.
Ray, thank you, brother. That was great. Stay safe, okay?
You too, man.
All right, see ya. That's Ray in Culver City. Let's go to Noel in L.A. What's up, Noel?
Hey, what's going on, George?
All good, brother.
Hey, man. No, I'm just calling a big fan, you know, listening for a few years. You know, I watch a lot of NFL, a lot of NBA. I'm not a big college football guy. I've gotten into it a lot more since I've been listening to you guys, LZ, and, you know, Keyshawn and those guys. But I agree with you because I'm a big MMA guy, boxing fight fan, and, you know, the UFC has competition with Bellator. And right now, Bellator doesn't look that big, but a few years ago, they got bought out by Viacom, which has as deep as pockets as, you know, I think it's Endeavor who owns the UFC now.
Correct.
So now, it's going to take a while, but slowly but surely, they're going to get to that point where they're, and it's gotten there, it's picked up a lot more in the past couple of years, where it's going to get as competitive as the UFC or as competitive as the SEC, you know what I mean?
Right, and it would be even easier. And thank you for the call, Noel. Stay safe, Brent. All right? So it's even easier for a Pac-12 because you've got history on your side. I mean, did you hear, Bergman, how indignant Clay was when I mentioned that to him, like that about those comments?
Yeah, I mean, and it's, as it should have been, because it's just a ridiculous notion. Look, I'm one of those guys that believes that Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12, is – not the greatest commissioner that we've ever had by any means, and he makes some really bad decisions. But the Pac-12 being dead is just an absolute nonsense thing. Playing games at 7 o'clock is silly, like the last caller was talking about and you've been talking about. But it's just it's not going anywhere. There's too much money that come in from USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington, those types.
Yeah, look, and I'll ask Lewis Riddick, who's going to join us at 11 here in a few minutes, about just kind of the thought of that. Like, it just seems silly. Like, he's done some college football this year. And, you know, I just kind of get it. I want to get his thoughts on that. But mostly we want to talk to Lewis Riddick because he says that he believes the Rams should go after Cam Newton, that he thinks it'd be a good fit. So we'll talk to Lewis about that. But here's something that just popped up. The San Francisco Chronicle. All right. Connor Letourneau, who is the beat writer for the Warriors, has written a story about the Warriors and saying that their last dance should be coming up. And the only way they can make their last dance to truly be a dynasty or a dynastic type team is that they need to land Giannis. And look, there's a lot of smoke about Giannis, right? Including his relationship with Steph. People know that him and Steph get along. He's one of the few guys that Giannis has a relationship with. And in this story in the San Francisco Chronicle, it says league sources believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo would want out of Milwaukee if he loses confidence in the franchise's ability to win championships, per the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, this isn't the first time that we've heard this. Our Malika Andrews at ESPN, if you remember, last playoffs, right? Not this season, but the previous season, when the Toronto Raptors eliminated the Bucks, right as that happened, a story dropped from Malika that had a similar source telling her something that Giannis would only resign if he felt like he had the ability to win championships. And if he didn't, he would test the market. And remember, Malika asked Giannis a question about the game, but when he saw it was her asking the question, he walked off the set. He walked off from the table and wouldn't even take her question. So this isn't the first time we've heard this. And you know me, I believe where there's smoke, there's fire. And I believe that this unfortunate situation that we're dealing with, it hurts the Bucks. As much as people talk about it hurts the Lakers because of them being on a roll, it hurts the Bucks too because it's one less year with Giannis, and it's the year with Giannis where they, only they, could have offered him the Supermax this offseason. And they may still do that. And he has a good relationship with Milwaukee's management right now. But if I'm him, I don't know if I'm signing the Supermax if we can't finish this season off, or God forbid they get bounced again. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. We're going to take a break. Lewis Riddick is going to join us next. He says Cam to the Rams, but I want to get back to this Giannis thing in a little bit. Dave Pasch is going to join us at 11:15. We'll talk Bill Walton stories with him as he does Pac-12 basketball with Bill Walton. And obviously he's my colleague on NBA and does college football. We can talk to Pasch about anything. And then Ryan Russillo at 11:40. But I want to get back to this Giannis thing at 11:30. So stick around for that. Lewis Riddick joins us in 4 minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN.